It's time now for Spears on Sports with John Spears, presented by M&M Carnage. And now, here's Johnny.
Made it to a Thursday. Welcome into Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Carnage. John Spears in studio. It is Thursday, November 18th, 1 week until Thanksgiving. My birthday happens to fall on Thanksgiving this year. My wife's going out of town. My daughters are going out of town. I guess I'll go to the casino. Happy birthday to me. Full disclosure, I wouldn't have it any other way. M&M Carnage Hotline is open, 502-384-1450, if you'd like to join in on the conversation. 502-384-1450. Thornton's text line open as well, 414-1450. Don't forget, Thornton's is a perfect stop for all the best pick-me-up items you need to get your day started, like fresh coffee, delicious donuts. Visit Thornton's and text the show at the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. College football tonight of local interest, Louisville and Duke. We'll talk about that. Bellarmine played again last night in basketball. We'll talk about that. Indiana's win over St. John's. Man, that was fun. That was fun basketball. And St. John's does what St. John's does, what Mike Anderson teams do. They muck it up. So we'll talk about that as well. Thursday night football in the NFL tonight as well. Kentucky has some basketball games coming up that are not going to be on TV, or at least on broadcast TV. We'll talk about that. Michigan State news, both football and basketball. The new athletic director in Miami may be somebody you are familiar with. And I watched Hard Knocks in season with the Indianapolis Colts. I waited till the Indiana game was over. Went to my HBO Max app on my TV and was able to watch Hard Knocks in season. So we'll talk about that as well. My life is sad. I have a great life, all right? Don't get me wrong. Have a great life. Here's what I did last night. While waiting for the Indiana-St. John's game, I watched some Seinfeld reruns. I know that's sad. I've seen them all 10 times. Then I got hooked on George Mason and Maryland on the Big Ten Network. George Mason and Maryland. George Mason, by the way, pulled the upset. It was a whale of a game. 71-66 was the final. George Mason controlled the game throughout. I was flipping over watching Lakers-Bucks. Lakers are 8-8 now. And LeBron, he'll be back, I guess, soon. The Lakers need help. The Bucks are at 500 now, defending champs. They've struggled. But they've only had three games with their top three players all in the lineup, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday. They've only played three games with all three of those guys. So, you know, they'll be better. Just like the Lakers will be better once LeBron is healthy, we think. But that was my night. Seinfeld reruns, some leftover buffalo dish that my wife made that was unbelievably good. NBA basketball, George Mason basketball. Watched a lot of Michigan State and Butler from Hinkle Fieldhouse as well. Just waiting for Indiana-St. John's, and it did not disappoint. 76-74 was the final. The Hoosiers are 3-0. The place was rocking. Now, I've said this, we are post-pandemic as far as viewing sporting events anymore, going to sporting events. Louisville fans are not showing up. Now, look, these are bad games in basketball. Louisville and Furman, all right? Louisville and Navy. They got Detroit Mercy coming up on Saturday. These are not games that you necessarily want to get ready, park, fight the traffic, pay for concessions, go to the game, spend literally 3.5 to 4 hours of your day from the time you leave the house to the time you get back home. These are not games you want to see. Kentucky playing Robert Morris. I don't even remember who they played Monday, and I was there. How about that? I don't remember who they played, and I'm in my notebook here going backwards to look it up. Because Well, I can't even find it. Mount St. Mary's. I literally did not, could not remember who they played. And I was there. I was at the game. But they showed up in Bloomington last night. Now, St. John's is a much better opponent than the other teams that I just mentioned. There, it's a Big East game. It's a Gavitt game where it's a Big East versus a Big Ten. So it's a good game. But I will give Indiana fan credit. They showed up last night. Student section showed up. It was loud. It was rowdy. And it's an Indiana team now that the fan base has something to look forward to, it appears. Has something to cheer about. You've got a preseason first-team All-American in Trace Jackson Davis. You got a new coach in Mike Woodson who played at Indiana. And what the Stephen Bardo, he took some shots last night as the analyst on the game. He took some shots. He didn't think the flagrant two foul that was called on Arkansas was warranted. Replay showed it was warranted. So he took some heat last night. But he was right about this. Mike Woodson used to coach in the NBA. And when you coach in the NBA, you learn to exploit matchups in the games. And that's what Mike Woodson did last night to St. John's. He took his best matchup, which most of the time was Trace Jackson Davis against somebody, but sometimes it was Xavier Johnson, sometimes it was Race Thompson. And even other times it was even Jordan Geronimo and Tamar Bates. And he exploited those matchups, and that's why Indiana won this game. They got contributions all over the board. They handled the pressure that St. John's brought. Indiana had 15 turnovers. Against that St. John's pressure, against the Mike Anderson, Nolan Richardson school of how we play defense, 40 minutes of hell, against that, Indiana did a really good job. They had 15 turnovers. Guess what? So did St. John's. 34 rebounds. Guess what? So did St. John's. It's a hard team to prepare for, and it's a hard team to play against. And you had a 12-point lead at halftime, and I looked at nobody because I'm watching games alone like usual, and I said to myself, self, this game is far from over because St. John's makes it hard to play the way you want to play for the entire 40 minutes. First half, Indiana was great. They were great. St. John's pressure did not bother them. You had a great first half from Tamar Bates, of all people. He had 11 points in the game. Second half, the pressure got to him a little bit. Turned the ball over a little bit. Missed some shots that they had made in the first half. Julian Champagne is really good. He had 32 points for St. John's and 7 rebounds. But Jackson Davis gives you a double-double again, 18-10. Race Thompson gives you 15-5. Tamar Bates contributes. Geronimo contributes. Xavier Johnson contributes. Xavier Johnson is going to give Indiana fans ulcers. He is. He's the same guy that played at Pitt. He is going to give you ulcers because there will be three plays in a row where you think you have the best point guard in the nation. There will be three plays in a row when you wonder why he even sees the floor. That's what you get with Xavier Johnson. But when he's good, he's really good. Miller Kopp contributes 12 points. Galloway takes the hard foul. He's got ice on his wrist. It's a flagrant two. The St. John's player gets kicked out of the game. The right call, in my opinion. Galloway can't come back in. Miller Kopp comes in, and he contributes. Double digits last night for Miller Kopp. And against that 40 minutes of scrambling defense, get after you, get on the floor, deflections, all of that, Indiana shot 51.7%. This is a team that did not shoot well the first couple of games. And you wondered, uh-oh, here we go again, a team that can't shoot well in Bloomington. They were 6 of 18 from three-point land last night. I've said this before, 33% from three equals 50% from two. I don't know if that math's accurate, but that's what it feels like to me. If you shoot 33% from from long range, you're good. You're good. 6 of 18, Indiana fans should take that every time out. Now, you got to shoot free throws better. 10 of 19 from the line. That's not going to get it done in a close game. Other than free throw shooting, I liked what I saw out of this Indiana team. They got a lot of contributors. I didn't even mention Finney, right? Didn't even mention Parker Stewart, who started. There are a lot of guys on this team that Mike Woodson, I think, feels comfortable going to at least early in the season here. Now, he's trying to find out who the best players are. He's going to give guys a chance, especially pre-Big Ten season. Give guys a shot here, and let's see how it pans out. Tamar Bates, great first half. Jordan Geronimo, great second half. Can they put an entire game together? That's the question. You know what you're going to get out of Jackson Davis. You know what you're going to get out of Thompson. You pretty much know what you're going to get out of Xavier Johnson, some good, some bad. You hopefully it's more good than bad. Now you got a Sunday night game against the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana. And again, let's see on a Sunday night, 7:30 against a non-Power 5 opponent if Bloomington and Assembly Hall is full. But it's encouraging because I've said this over and over. I actually retweeted Rick Bozich last night. He was talking about whether or not this is a trend. This is reality now. This is reality. You're going to go to games or you're going to see games. And TV does a great job of covering it up. They do a great, especially in football. But in basketball, to a degree, they do a great job of covering up. The cameras only get on the sections that are full, the sections that have the most people in them. But when nobody's in the lower bowl, when half the lower bowl is empty like it was in Louisville on Monday, like it almost was close to half on Lexington on Tuesday, the camera can't hide that, cannot hide it. And when you're there in person like I was at both of those games, you can't hide it. But it was a loud crowd. It was a great crowd in Bloomington. Will they bring it again Friday? Look, the last few years of the Archie Miller era, it's no secret fans were disgruntled. They were not happy, and they quit showing up. They slowed down on showing up. But it is a very strong fan base. And if you are going to win, and if you're going to play hard like they did last night, 40 minutes hard, fans will show up. Got to win. That's everywhere. 90,000 people show up for Nebraska football no matter how good they are. That is the exception. That's not the rule. The rule now is, for the most part, if you're a 500 team, your fans are going to stay home. And I don't care what sport we're talking about. If you're a 500 team, your fans are going to stay home because it's not worth the money. It's no longer worth the money. People that couldn't go to games in 2020 because of COVID found out they could take an extra vacation. They could buy a nice new flat screen TV and a new sofa and a new love seat and enjoy the games at home. You know what? This is a lot better at home. I showed up I turned the TV on 2 minutes before the game began. 2 hours later, it was over, and I was back doing what I needed to do around the house and what I wanted to do. Went out to eat. Wasn't going to go out and eat if I'm paying $9 for a beer and $8 for a thing of nachos at the ballgame. People are doing other things than going to the games because they figured out I have a better seat at home, and it's a lot cheaper at home. And if my team is playing Furman or Mount St. Mary's, why would I go in the first place? And we'll see if Indiana fan feels that way about Louisiana this week. Now, Indiana fan is a little different right now because right now they have something they haven't had for a couple of years, and that's hope. That's hope. Hey, we're pretty good. We got an All-American. We got a transfer point guard who's pretty good. We got a new coach who looks to be coaching these guys up really well. That was a fun game to watch last night. start to finish. Now, St. John's makes it fun. They do. They jack up threes. They run the floor. They play defense in a way that either they're going to get a steal or you're going to get a layup sometimes. And that pace is a lot of fun to watch. But I will tell you this. If you ask Mike Woodson, do you want to play a team that plays like that again? He's going to say, no, thank you. He is going to say, nope, I'm out on that one. I'm out on that one because you'll pull your hair out watching, trying to stop a team like that and trying to score against a team like that. You'll pull your hair out. They make it crazy. And you saw it last night. It only takes about 2 or 3 minutes of game time to take a game that you thought you were going to win easily, and all of a sudden you look at the scoreboard and you go, oh my gosh, they've tied this game up, or they're back in it. They're back within four. How did this happen? Give Indiana credit. When St. John's tied that game last night, I thought, as a lot of Indiana fans probably thought, oh no, momentum obviously not on our side here. And then Jordan Geronimo, couple of big buckets. And when you talk about Louisiana on Sunday, well, they're 3-0. Their closest game has been a 21-point win over Southern Miss on the road. Now, they beat West Florida. They beat Xavier of Louisiana. It means a lot more if you don't say of Louisiana, but I take it back. They beat Xavier of Louisiana by 12. So I don't know anything about Louisiana other than they're 3-0 against one team that I've actually heard of. Not that team's any good, but one team that I've heard of, Southern Miss. Bellarmine last night loses to St. Mary's 73-64. I listened to Scott Davenport's post-game comments. He was very happy with his team last night. Said, we are finally playing our kind of basketball. Bellarmine actually held a lead midway through the second half against the St. Mary's Gales. St. Mary's now 4-0. Bellarmine's 0-3. Losses, of course, to Purdue, Murray State, St. Mary's all on the road. Now they go to Gonzaga tomorrow night for a 9 o'clock game. Good luck. Good luck. You can play Bellarmine basketball all you want. You're not beating Gonzaga in Gonzaga, not this year. And I'm just hoping they keep it respectable. Dylan Penn, he's a star. Dylan Penn of Bellarmine's a star. He had 27 last night. And they did give St. Mary's a bit of a scare. But now you get a day off to prepare for the Gonzaga Bulldogs. Good luck. Bellarmine did shoot 51%. Only got out-rebounded by one. Turnovers hurt them late in the first half. They had a lead late in the first half and had some egregious turnovers that allowed St. Mary's to get like an 8-point lead at halftime, and that was really the spot of the game, and Scott Davenport said that's where we lost the game. But 73-64, St. Mary's with the win last night. Bellarmine stays out west and goes to Spokane to take on the number one team in the country tomorrow night. All right, Thursday night football tonight. We got the pro game. We got Louisville and Scott Satterfield at Duke to take on a bad Blue Devils team. We'll talk about that and a lot more on the other side. You're listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. M&M Cartage hotline is open, 502-384-1450. If you'd like to add to the conversation, 502-384-1450. Thorne's text line open as well, 502-414-1450. Download Thorne's Refreshing Rewards app today for great offers and savings on fuel every day. That's the Thorne's Refreshing Rewards app. Download it now and hit me up on the text machine, the Thornton's text machine, 502-414-1450. College football tonight, Louisville and Duke, 7:30 ESPN. It's one of those standalone games that everybody gets to watch. I watched some action last night. That's another part of my sad life. All right, it wasn't enough to watch Michigan State and Butler Indiana and St. John's, the Lakers and the Bucks, even George Mason and the upset of Maryland. I was tuned into that one for a lot of that one. I had to hit ESPN2 and ESPNU for some Mid-American Conference football. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I'm in the middle of watching at about close to midnight. I'm in the middle of watching the Hard Knocks episode, in-season Hard Knocks with the Indianapolis Colts, which, by the way, was fabulous. But in the middle of watching that, I thought, what am I doing? What am I doing? I've been down in this basement since 7 o'clock. It's midnight now. I haven't left my chair other than to grab something to eat or go to the restroom. And here I am in the middle of Hard Knocks in season with the Indianapolis Colts at midnight. All right. I'm done complaining. It's a good life. It's actually a great life. Louisville Duke tonight. The Cards are 5-5. They can become bowl eligible with a win tonight, which is a big motivating factor here if you're a Cardinal fan and if you're a Cardinal player and if you're a Cardinal coaching staff, because you got a pretty good Kentucky team coming to Cardinal Stadium, the venue formerly known as Papa John's Cardinal Stadium, next Saturday, the 27th. And you would love to be bowl eligible before that. Now, I will say this, next week, of course, I'll be off Thursday and Friday for Thanksgiving, but all next week, Kentucky fan, regardless of how bad they beat New Mexico State, regardless of what happens in this Louisville Duke game tonight, Kentucky fan is going to be on pins and needles next week, because this is set up. This is really set up for the Cards to have a major upset in the series and a big win in this series. It just is. That's the way these things have gone this season. Kentucky starts 6-0. We're going to win the SEC East. We're going to go to the Sugar Bowl. We have playoff aspirations. All right, you lose to Georgia. That's okay. We play Georgia as good as anybody but Clemson this year, so we're still really good. And now all of a sudden you're 7-3. You look over, Louisville's 5-5. Fans are upset at Louisville with Scott Satterfield. They're upset with the way the team's playing when they're, you know, below 500. And now all of a sudden, here comes that game. And, I'm talking about that game a week and a half early here. Don't overlook Duke. Now, the worst thing that can happen for Louisville in the next 7 hours is if David Cutcliffe were to announce that he's going to retire at the end of the season as Duke's head coach, because that would give the Duke players motivation. Hey, let's win one for the coach. That's the last thing Louisville needs tonight. And I don't think it's going to happen, because Duke still has another home game left next week against the Miami Hurricanes. So perhaps Coach Cutcliffe is saving the "I'm going to retire" press conference until next week to get his players motivated to beat Miami. If you're David Cutcliffe and you're at Duke, you'd probably rather beat Miami than you would Louisville. So I don't think we're going to hear any announcement today from David Cutcliffe. Duke's 3-7, folks. They've lost six straight, all in the ACC. Their wins are over North Carolina A&T, Northwestern, and Kansas. And I know Kansas beat Texas last week, but it's still Kansas. They're closest loss in ACC play, and by the way, Louisville's a 20-point favorite tonight. Their closest loss is by 4 to Georgia Tech. All other conference losses, the other 5 conference losses, are by 25 or more points each. I love Louisville tonight. As long as we don't get a pregame press conference from David Cutcliffe telling me he's going to retire at the end of the season, and these are going to be his last two games as the head coach of Duke, barring that announcement coming, I love the Cards to cover tonight. I do. That's your Tim Tam Tavern pick of the day. We'll get to the bucket of picks tomorrow, but the pick of the day, Louisville minus the 20 at Duke. because the Cards have found their footing in the running game. They got a couple of running backs now that have played very well the last couple times out. Malik Cunningham, and I've said this all year, give him a little bit of help here. O-line, give him some help. Receivers, give him some help. Running backs, make it a little easier on him. Make it so in those read options, he doesn't have to keep the ball every time. And they've done that recently, especially against Syracuse. This is a game where the Cards should be able to run the ball. They should be able to throw the ball. And Duke's going to score a few points. But Cardinal defense last week was the Cardinal defense we hadn't seen this season. And you hope it carries over. And I think it will. And I think this is a rout tonight. I think this is a rout. NFL-wise tonight, you got the Patriots and the Falcons. Anytime you hear New England and Atlanta, you can't help but think of Super Bowl 51, 2017, 28-3. If I say 28-3 and you're an Atlanta fan or you're from Atlanta, you immediately know what I'm talking about. Super Bowl 51, the Falcons led 28-3. Somehow, Tom Brady, the New England Patriots, came back and beat Atlanta in overtime 34-28 to win yet another Super Bowl. Matt Ryan was the quarterback then. He's the quarterback now. Tom Brady was the quarterback then for New England. He is not the New England quarterback now. It's Mac Jones. But the Patriots right now are a 6-4 playoff team. They are. Mac Jones has been the best quarterback out of the new quarterbacks this year. Now, that includes Trevor Lawrence. That includes Justin Fields, who's getting better but may or may not have gotten a fair shake early in the year. It includes Trey Lance, who wasn't ready to play. It includes Zach Wilson, who got hurt with the New York Jets, Jets. The best quarterback, without question, of the rookies has been Mac Jones. And the reason he's been the best is because he just does what he's told to do. He doesn't have to win the games. He just has to not lose the games. It's a good New England defense. It's a solid New England running game and offensive line. They win some games with special teams. They haven't had the toughest schedule. I mean, they've got Buffalo and Tennessee the next 2 weeks after this. So we'll see what New England's made up. But Atlanta, they've been bad. They're 4-5. I don't know how they've won four. Dallas dismantled the Falcons 43-3 last week. 8:20 tonight on Fox. New England's a 6.5-point favorite in this game. I'm going to take the Falcons just because the NFL is the NFL. And the last 2 weeks, Tim Tam Tavern, bucket of picks. I've taken all six pro games I picked. I've given the points. I'm 1-5. Not going to give points anymore. I will occasionally, but I'm not going to give points in the NFL anymore because there's never been a season in my memory, which is not great, but there's never been a season like this in that any given Sunday, also the title of a movie, I had no idea who was going to beat who. No idea. The Jets have beaten the Bengals and the Titans. Jacksonville beat the Bills. Jacksonville, by the way, this week, I'm not giving away my picks, but I kind of like them. They're at home to San Francisco getting 6. The Niners have to go all the way to Jacksonville after a Monday night game when they beat their arch nemesis, the Los Angeles Rams. Yep, that's the recipe. But in the NFL, there is no recipe. There is no recipe in the National Football League. So New England 6.5, I'm going to take Jacksonville there. I don't feel nearly as good about it as I feel about Louisville given the 20. But I am going to take Jacksonville plus the points. All right, before I get to college football and the Saturday slate of games, a couple of things to keep an eye on. Tom Jurich, his name has now been thrown around as one of the candidates, one of the leading candidates, according to what I've been reading, to be the new AD at Miami. Canes are going to be looking for a new head coach. In all likelihood, Manny Diaz will be out, and they're going to be looking, and they're definitely looking for a new athletic director. Wouldn't that be something? The pariah of Louisville, Tom Jurich, who a lot of people thought and still think should not have been fired, should not have been let go by the University of Louisville. There's still some bitterness out there about that. And if you go down to the campus at the university, Tom Jurich's stamp is all over that campus. Field hockey stadium, softball stadium, baseball stadium, Cardinal Stadium on Floyd Street. I mean, you go up and down that campus, look around, because every venue that is there was put there by Uncle Tom Jurich. There's no two ways about it. You can not like what happened there at the end. You can not like the way he handled things with Rick Pitino. You can be mad about bringing Bobby Petrino back. There's a lot of things you can look at Tom Jurich and be angry about, but you cannot say that the facilities, the upgrades that are in place when he left were not in place when he got here. You can't say it was anybody else's doing other than Tom Jurich getting money from donors and getting these things put together. And now he may be the enemy once again. If you're Miami, if you're the Canes, you're probably looking for a splash here. You're looking for a guy who's got a good track record, not a great track record, but a good track record of bringing in the right coaches, getting your top teams, your football and your basketball teams, and in Miami baseball as well, getting them where they need to be, getting them the right coaches. He's got a pretty good record of that. And he's got a great record of taking care of the quote-unquote non-revenue sports. So keep an eye on that story. I think there's something to this. And if Miami wants to hit a home run and get a big name, Tom Jurich is going to be their guy. The NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, great transition there, is expanding to 68 teams, just like the men's tournament. I would rather the men's tournament had dropped back to 64 teams instead of the women's tournament going to 68. Look, I know it's all about money. I get it. The first four generate some dollars for the NCAA. Those Tuesday, Wednesday games between Selection Sunday and the first Thursday of the tournament, those Tuesday, Wednesday games, you get a one versus a 16, and then you also get one of those, or you get a 16 versus a 16, and then you get one of those play-in matchups, somebody trying to be the 11 seed, some Power 5 teams. All right. I would rather go back to 64. 68, come on. If you want to go from 64 to a number, go to 128. All right. Nobody gets a bye. It's the NCAA tournament. Come on. But the women will now go to 68 teams as well. Michigan State last night, they beat Butler, beat them handily in Hinkle Fieldhouse. The fun part of that game last night was Tom Izzo in the postgame, who brought up the fact that the Spartans team took a bus from East Lansing down to Indianapolis because the administration told Coach Izzo, find a game where we don't have to charter a plane, we can take a bus, you can take your guys down on a bus, so we can save a little money here. Now, I don't know how far it is from East Lansing to Indianapolis. It's at least a couple hours. But Tom Izzo sort of made fun of that on the same day that it was reported that head football coach Mel Tucker had been offered a 10-year, $95 million contract extension that the university felt they didn't have enough money. They needed to save a little money by picking one game that you could take a bus to. And I don't think Tom Izzo, who's very entertaining, by the way, I don't think Tom Izzo was very happy about that last night. When you bring that up in your post-game press conference, you don't bring it up because you want to laugh about it. You bring it up to say, So you're going to give the football coach $95 million? And I know a lot of donors are coming up with that. I get that. But Tom Izzo's point is, you're going to give him $95 million for 10 years, and we can't take a plane. We can't charter a plane to go play a weeknight basketball game in Indianapolis. What are we doing? What are we doing? All right, we'll talk about Hard Knocks when we come back, the in-season edition. As I say with the regular show, I love it. There's no way I wasn't going to love it. But we'll tell you what went on in that. If you didn't watch it and you want to watch it later, spoiler alert coming up. Also, the college football slate of games coming up on the weekend. We'll hit a few of the highlights as we head into Friday's edition tomorrow. You're listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. Final segment. The Thornton's text line is still open, 502-414-1450, 414-1450 to get your text, last-minute text into the show. It was 38 years ago today that the movie A Christmas Story was released in theaters. 38 years ago today, 1983. Ah, what a great movie. You'll shoot your eye out. Right? The pink bunny suit, the leg lamp. Doesn't get any better than A Christmas Story. If you don't have A Christmas Story in one of your top five Christmas movies of all time, I might have an issue with you. Maybe we can't be friends anymore. I don't know. Let's go to the M&M Cartage Hotline. Bring in Ed. Can we still be friends, Ed? A Christmas Story, 38 years ago today.
How about White Christmas?
Okay, I'm
released
good.
Back in the,
I'm just saying top five. It's got to be in your top five.
Top five. Well, I'm not sure.
All right, well.
I'm not sure.
This will be Ed's last appearance on the show, folks. How you doing today, brother? What do you want to talk about today?
I just want to throw my 2 cents in.
All right.
About Tom Jurich.
Yeah. It's very interesting, isn't it?
Well, I go both ways on this. Yes and no. He gave Rick Pitino so much rope that it ended up hanging.
Agreed.
Tom.
Agreed.
Pitino treated people like dirt. And you know who the starting quarterback for Florida State is right now?
Jordan Travis, right?
And he was at Louisville, and they ran him off. Now, that guy's got a gun. I mean, I'm telling you, he has got an arm.
I'll take Malik. I'm good with Malik, right?
Well, I'm good with Malik, too.
Okay.
I agree with you. But Tom, you hit the nail on the head. You're exactly, absolutely right. You cannot. I mean, yeah, people were not happy. He's a tough negotiator. We're not happy with him. Well, if you didn't want to deal with him, then don't deal with him. That's my take on it. The only thing is Rick Pitino has so many problems and so much stuff going on that he'd never budged on that. And I have thoughts about Rick.
But Ed, you remember the facilities or the lack of facilities before Tom Jurich got here. And I'm not just talking about the major sports. I'm talking about the non-revenue sports as well. That campus has had a full makeover from the time before Jurich to the time of Jurich and after Jurich. It's incredible on campus now, right?
Well, he made a great point. We have the window right there along the expressway. I mean,
yeah.
How many people pass that on a daily basis going to and from Florida, going to the north, to Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, or wherever. I mean, that is a great – I mean, you can actually look down there. If there's a softball game going on, if they're on the track, the whole bit. It's right there. And what could be more of a PR thing for you than that? I mean, I agree with you. There was nothing before. I mean, there was absolutely nothing. And now look at it.
UofL football tonight. Any trouble for the Cards tonight? Just simply because it's a road game on a Thursday? It's a quick turnaround here.
Well, they better come with their head screwed on, right, not read their press clippings. Because the one thing Scott Satterfield, and a little bit of it is coach speak, I'm sure, but he said that Duke has not played a home game in like over 3 weeks now. And when they did play home games early, they were much better at home. And everybody's much better
very
at home
early,
than they are on the road.
Very early.
But Will they have any trouble? I don't know. There might be a little hangover from the Syracuse game, but if you're any worth the, what is the saying? If you're worth the salt that you're made of, or whatever, they should win all the way. They have more weapons. They have more weapons than Duke. And Louisville, pretty much all year long, has been pretty good against the run. Now against the pass, that's a different story. Against the run. And I think David Cutcliffe is an outstanding coach. I know his record probably doesn't show it, but my goodness, it's Duke.
Well, I got a blowout tonight. I just think this is a mismatch in talent, and I think Malik Cunningham will have. I think Cards might throw up a 50 spot tonight. I really do. You put 41 on Syracuse, and that's not a bad Syracuse defense. I just think if you score early, you're going to score a lot tonight if you're Louisville, I think.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sets up for some interesting things next week.
Oh, it's going to be fun week. Fun week next week.
In detail next week. It should be fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate the call as always. I always trigger a nerve in it. This week it was Tom Jurich. I think, he starts twitching as he's dialing the phone. By the way, Kentucky basketball has two games coming up the next two Mondays. They play Albany, the University of Albany, and Central Michigan on the next two Mondays, Monday before Thanksgiving, the Monday after Thanksgiving. Neither of those games is on broadcast television. I meant to ask John Hale about this yesterday, but we kind of ran out of time. We ran a little long with our interview. Is Kentucky fan upset about this? I think, and they may not even realize it yet. One of the games, I think Albany is going to be on SEC Plus, and the Central Michigan game is going to be on ESPN Plus. Now, these are services that you have to buy. These are services you have to purchase. Now, if you have the SEC Network, maybe the Albany game is on the SEC alternate channel. I think maybe you can get that. But the Central Michigan game is going to be ESPN Plus, and if you want to watch it, you're going to have to do a trial run, $5, $10, whatever it is, to buy ESPN Plus for a month if you want to watch Central Michigan at Kentucky on November 29th. Is Kentucky fan upset about this? Now, I come from an era when Major League Baseball only had one game on a week on Saturday afternoon. When you wanted to watch Kentucky basketball, you watched it 11:30 at night on a delayed basis. My father would literally not watch television or listen to any radio until 11:30, and he would turn on and watch those games. Marty Brenneman did some of those games back in the day. Martin Newton, who's now an athletic director at Samford, did some of those games. So it's a different era, because in the last 20 years, people are spoiled. You got to see every Kentucky basketball game on television. Every one. My wife keeps texting me. We ordered some pizza today. She wants me to pick it up. That's the dinging you hear in the background. And now you've gotten so used to watching all the games that when one is not on television, it's sort of bizarre. What do I do? What do I do? Let me find this iHeartRadio app so I can listen to Tom Leach. I guess I'll put that on my phone. I guess I'll have to listen to a game. God forbid. I can't watch the game. I go back to the 80s when you had to watch it on delayed basis at 11:30, unless it was a big game. If it was these non-conference bad opponent games, the UKIT, remember the UK Invitational Tournament? It was always Kentucky and three teams they should beat. They beat one of them, and then they'd beat the winner of the other game. They'd play the winner of the other game and beat them. And it had to be on a delayed basis. Be watching 11:30, 2 in the morning, the game would end on TV. I guess I better go to bed now. And those were mostly weekend games, but every now and then you had a Tuesday night, 11:30, if you wanted to watch it. I never got to watch those. All right, Hard Knocks And I got a little, just a little short window here. That was fun last night. Basically, I've watched Hard Knocks for the last 8 to 10 years. Preseason. Now they're doing in season. They began with week 10, the Indianapolis Colts game leading up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a good watch. Frank Reich, you learn a lot about him. You learn a lot about Darius Leonard, the maniac linebacker. They call him the maniac. A lot of home life stuff. Carson Wentz just had a baby. You got to see, well, you didn't get to see the baby being born, but you got to see all of the lead up to him having his second daughter. You got to see reaction and in real time reaction to the block punt that the Colts had last weekend, to the fumble by Trevor Lawrence that the Colts recovered to seal the game. It was good stuff. It was good stuff. HBO does it. They do it right. They do that right. They let you inside the locker room, inside the meeting rooms. You got to hear Chris Ballard, the GM, talking about running back Jonathan Taylor and talking candidly about, boy, how good this guy is and how good he could be. So if you get a chance, HBO Max, if you've got it, go back and watch. This is the first episode, and it's going to be every Wednesday at 10 o'clock until the Colts season is over. Hard Knocks in season featuring the Indianapolis Colts. Good stuff. All right, I think the Cards win big tonight. I'll give you that as my lock of the, let's go month. I don't want to go year yet, but let's go lock of the month here. Lock of November, Louisville minus the 20 tonight against Duke. Only one upset in college basketball last night. That was 20th-ranked Maryland at home losing to George Mason 71-66. Four top 20 teams play tonight. Third-ranked Kansas hosting Stony Brook. The Jayhawks are 25.5-point favorites there. If you're looking for something to watch tonight, 6:30 Ohio State and Xavier, one of those Gavitt games, Big Ten against the Big East, FS1, 6:30 Ohio State on the road, 1.5-point favorite over the Xavier Musketeers. I'll talk to you tomorrow with the Tim Tam Tavern Bucket of Picks for you tomorrow as well. You've been listening to Spears on Sports presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X.